between them. 20 years had passed since Morgan had last come face to face with Nate, but time had been exceptionally kind to him. His shoulders were broader, muscled, and there was a liberal sprinkling of premature gray in his cropped black hair. Nate wore the customary Kavanaugh Island wedding attire: slacks, shirt open at the collar, and lightweight jacket. He rose to his feet when she stood less than a foot away. He was taller than she'd remembered, too. She extended her hand. "I don't know if you remember me, but..." He took her hand, holding it for several seconds. "Of course I remember you, Mo." Morgan wanted to scream at him. If he remembered her, then why hadn't he returned her calls? "Is it possible for you to put aside some time for us to talk about a project I'm involved with?" She lowered her voice, then took several steps away from the crowd. He followed her so they wouldn't be overheard by those staring at them. "What type of project?" "If you'd returned my calls, then you'd know." The retort came out sharper than she'd wanted, and she watched his eyebrows lift a fraction. Morgan had been a month shy of her 14th birthday when Nate left Haven Creek to attend college on the West Coast. No one, not even Francine, knew she'd had a crush on the tall, good-looking honor student. At the end of each school year, she'd expected him to return to the creek, but to her disappointment, he'd opted to live in California. She'd heard that his father wanted him to come back after he'd graduated to help with the family's furniture-making business, and Nate's decision not to return had caused a rift between father and son, lasting almost 2 decades. "Did you leave a message?" he asked. She stared up into clear brown eyes, wondering what was going on behind them. "Yes, I left a message on your voicemail at the shop. In fact, I left 2 messages. A slight smile lifted the corners of Nate's mouth. "I'm sorry, but I didn't get the messages. Either my father erased them or there's something wrong with the phone. When do you want to talk?"
"Anytime that's convenient for you, Nate."
"Are you going to the reception?"
She smiled, exhibiting a matched set of dimples in her cheeks.
"Yes, we can meet there and talk."
"Are you familiar with the layout of Angel's Landing?"
He returned her smile with a mysterious one of his own. "I've been there a few times."
"If that's the case, then meet me at the duck pond at 3. Are you wearing a watch?"
"No watch, but I have this."
Reaching into the breast pocket of his jacket, Nate palmed a cell phone.
"I'll program you in on my cell for 3.
Morgan nodded.
"Thank you, Nate." "You're welcome, Mo."
She walked back to where she'd left Francine.
"Thanks."
Francine gave her a wide-eyed stare.
"Well, aren't you going to tell me what happened?"
"I'll tell you after I talk to him." Resting her hands at her waist, Francine narrowed her emerald green eyes.
"Now, I know you didn't just dish your favorite girl."
"I don't want to say anything because I might jinx myself." Francine leaned close enough for their shoulders to touch.
"Remember, I'm the one who has visions."
Morgan felt a chill wash over her body despite the warm temperatures.
"Stop it, Francine. You know talk about spirits scares me. One of these days, I'm going to tell you your future."
She hugged Morgan.
"Let me hurry and get back before my mama sends out a hunting party. After all, we were contracted to do the hair and makeup for the wedding party."
Morgan watched Francine until she disappeared from her line of vision. Her friend's mother owned the beauty box, and it was Mrs. Tanner who'd suggested that Morgan cut off her braids in favor of a short, natural style. She'd worn the braids for more than 3 years. Although both styles were low maintenance, Morgan realized that the shorter style was nearly maintenance-free. Her new look was in keeping with the other change going on in her life. She'd recently opened her own architecture and design.